If you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick cloth, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. I'm going to give you a little update on my slow motion bug out and try to share some of the tips I've learned with you so far in the process. Most of the long-term listeners have heard me say that I live in a post-collapse city. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This past Martin Luther King Day, hundreds of dirt bikes and four-wheelers took over I-95 in my area. And the police just sat back and watched. These vehicles aren't even street legal. They have no headlights. They don't have license plates, but the cops couldn't do anything about it. Now, all this happened even though EBT cards still work, government housing is still fully funded, the earned income child credit, tax credit still intact. That allows welfare queens to collect cash payments for breeding Democrats. But my city still suffered a complete without rule of law experience. Memorial Day, 2 years ago, we had a similar incident. The police had to shut down the beach due to fighting and unruly crowds. They had A1A, which is the avenue that runs along the beach. They had it lined with patrol cars. Cops were out there with full riot gear, SWAT, mobile command units. And I live in a nice middle-class neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale, and my street's been blocked off by police three times in the past few years, with police going and looking through the neighborhood for individuals and just blocking it off because they didn't want anybody coming in or out while they were doing this search for these individuals. And that's three times. It's not an isolated incident. So if Fort Lauderdale's this bad right now, you can imagine what this place would be like during a collapse. It would just be completely unlivable. So I felt God calling me a while back to get my family out of this area. And since that time, I've started taking the action steps that I needed to take to evacuate. We painted our house. We redid the bathroom. We redid the kitchen. We did all that so we could try to get the most out of our houses that we could. And we stuck it on the market. We also did a nice landscaping. If you can spruce up your house and be smart about the money you're spending, when you're doing that, you'll get a really nice return for it. One of the things about sinking money into your own house to sell is that you don't pay capital gains tax on up to $500,000. It's one of the few places you can invest money and get a nice return and pay no federal taxes. So that's definitely something to think about when you're thinking about putting your house on the market, is whatever return you get from your investment, it's going to be tax-free earnings, and there's pretty much no other place you can do that. So definitely something to take advantage of. So we did all of that, and we finally got a contract on our home and found a new one in a much better location. It's much more conservative, much more lightly populated. The population of the town we're moving to is actually smaller than the church we used to go to. So I guess that says how small the town is and maybe how big the church was too. But it's a much better location. It's way outside of South Florida. So the next 2 months are going to be a little hectic, but I'll be doing my best to keep the show going throughout the process. And once I get settled in, I'll be working on a new book with David Kobler, which should be out this summer. And we'll be doing one on the 7-step survival plan. We'll be doing a very comprehensive book on developing a good plan. A lot of people are talking about the September. If you've ever heard of Jonathan Kahn, he's the author of The Harbinger. He just came out with a new book called The Mystery of the Shemitah, which is something that rolls around every 7 years on the Jewish calendar, the Shemitah, and it was a period of time that the Jews were supposed to allow their land to lay fallow and not plant anything in that seventh year, and let the land rest, and that would come around every 7 years. Well, we've got another one rolling up this September 13th, and according to the Jewish calendar, seven years ago from this September was September 2008, which was when we had the largest one-day stock market drop. We had lost 777 points, which constituted a 7% loss in the market overall, and that marked the beginning of the Great Recession. And then 7 years prior to that, according to the Hebrew calendar, was 9/11. So his ideology is, well, the last two Shemitahs have been very disruptive, so it makes sense to sort of be prepared for the one coming up. And of course, if you're familiar with Mark Biltz, he was the first person to come up with the prophecy of the four blood moons, and we've had these four blood moons all falling on Jewish holidays, Passover, and the Feast of Booths, 2 years in a row, last year and this year. And then that fourth blood moon will be on the Feast of Booths, also called, the Feast of Tabernacles. And that'll be, at the end of September. So right after the Jewish Shemitah. So, he's saying that, you know, that could also signal something disruptive as well. And you've got secular economists as well. Martin Armstrong, who predicted the collapse of the ruble back in the 90s when Russia had their most recent complete meltdown. Of course, the ruble has again lost 30% of its value back last December, I believe it was. But he predicted their meltdown in the 90s, and he also predicted the American stock market crash in 1987, and he's calling for a serious market correction this September or first of October as well. And he's expecting something in the bond markets. So we've sort of got people from the worldly perspective and people from a biblical perspective, prophetic perspective, both looking at this September and saying that it's a really good time to be prepared. So we'll be focusing on that 7-step survival plan because, you know, if this is something, or whether it is or whether it isn't, we would expect that it's going to probably stir up a lot of new people to start taking some steps to being more prepared, because whether something happens this year or not, we can just look around and see the types of things that have been going on. And I think that most people sort of have that feeling that there's something in the air and there's something coming down the pipe. So, it just makes sense to be prepared. And I think that, when we get massive events and, even little things are in near misses, it brings a lot of new people into the preparedness movement. So we'll be writing that book for those folks, the 7-step survival plan. It'll kind of give them a nice outline of where to start and how to prioritize your preps. And then for folks that have been prepping for a long time, what happens to them a lot of times is they get out of balance and they'll get too far into comms or too far into guns or too far into food storage, and they'll neglect all these other areas of preparedness. And the 7-step survival plan will also be sort of a blueprint for those folks as well, to try to help you stay balanced for the seasoned prepper and a good outline for the new prepper. So it'll be something for everybody, and I think everybody will enjoy that. And then the Days of Noah book 3, that'll be out sometimes this fall.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out Silver.com today.
Are you prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones in extraordinary circumstances? Do you know the one piece of gear Special Operations soldiers rely on to gain an unfair advantage in the field? Are you interested in honing your firearm skills based on lessons learned in actual gunfights? In desperate times, ready men rise to the occasion and come out on top in difficult scenarios. With 73 years of Special Forces experience, the Ready Man Cadre blends cutting-edge tactics with the most current prepper skills into each online episode and live training event. Go to readyman.com to learn more and sign up for a free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card that you can easily carry and defeat locks, cut through ropes, and pick your way out of handcuffs. Again, that's readyman.com to sign up for your free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card.
Now, back to the process of selling the home. Typically, when you list a home with a realtor, you're going to be paying 3% to the listing agent, and then you're going to be paying another 3% to the agent that brings you a buyer. They may not be called a buyer's agent. In Florida, most of them are called transaction brokers, which means they don't represent anybody. They just represent the deal, and they're just trying to get a deal done, and they don't have, like, a lawyer has fiduciary duties to his client. There was a day and time that realtors sort of had that fiduciary duty, but here in Florida, they're all moving away from that, and they're just transaction brokers. Both sides are typically going to get 3% on that. Now, you can cut some really serious corners here, and you can do that by finding a flat fee MLS listing service. And they're all over Florida, and I suspect that they're all around the rest of the country as well. And what that is it's a licensed realtor, and what all they do is they'll take your information that you provide for them about your home, and they'll take the pictures that you provide for them from your home inside and out, and they'll load all those up on realtor.com and on the multiple listing service. So they can be anywhere from $150 to $500, but this is a huge savings compared to what you're going to pay for a listing agent. And most listing agents, that's all they're going to do if you're lucky. Once in a while, you'll get a real go-getter, and they'll be out there, they'll be mailing out postcards about your home to other people in the area. They'll be having open houses and really going above and beyond. But if you can't find that realtor that does that, and you don't know that realtor does that, then chances are the only thing they're going to do is just upload your information and put some pictures on there anyway. And in some cases, you're going to be lucky if they even take the pictures and load them up. It's not uncommon for me to be looking on realtor.com and come across listings that have one picture, or they'll have three or four pictures, all of them bad, not taken with even a decent iPhone or a decent camera phone, and just horrific pictures and maybe three or four of them, and you can't get an idea of what's going on in a house with three or four pictures. You know, you need to have a minimum of like 15 or 20 pictures of your home, and, you know, a couple of different angles, a couple of different shots in each room, especially the bathrooms and kitchens, and, you know, let people get a feel of how big the space is, and the living room and the dining areas and backyard, front yard, all of that stuff. So, you know, you can't do that with two or three pictures, and it's not uncommon to find a realtor that's got one picture or two or three pictures up there. And, it's just, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot if you get stuck with a realtor like that. And now you got to pay them 3% commission, which if you've got your home sells for $200,000, that's $6,000. You just paid somebody to put three pictures up on realtor.com and, MLS service for you. And you could have paid somebody $150 to $500 to do the flat fee listing and done 15 to 20 pictures yourself. So, you could have paid less and got a lot more for it, and saved a ton of money. And I'm not really sure what the reason is, but, in my area, buyers and sellers still aren't connecting on Zillow. And I don't know if that's all around the country that's happening or if it's just here, But for whatever reason, that's just not taken off. And it's something that I would have thought would have happened because, it would, for the buyer, that he would be able to keep more of his proceeds. I mean, he would be able to get a better price because, those 6% realtor commissions wouldn't be being factored into the sale price of the home. And for the seller, he's going to keep a higher percentage of his proceeds. So, I don't understand why that's not taken off because, it's just as easy to use. It's a great service. And I still recommend people putting their homes up on Zillow because you never know. You might get somebody from there. And if you do, then you won't have to pay either side of the commission. And, you know, if you're a buyer, when you're looking, look first on Zillow, because if you can find a for sale by owner on Zillow, and, you know, they'll be able to negotiate a little bit more on the price because they don't have that realtor fee. Now, one of the things that a realtor will do for you is that they'll provide you a list of homes that have sold in your area and give you sort of an idea of what you should price your home at. But this is also something that you can do by yourself, and you can use Zillow for that. And you can go to Zillow and you can look up recent sales in your zip code. And if it's going to provide you with the pictures, you'll be able to look and see if the home was in a similar condition to yours. And then you'll be able to say, okay, well, this home sold for $250,000 and it's 1,000 square feet. It's in about the same condition as my home. So if that's the case, you now have sort of a formula or a function that you can use to figure out what your house would most likely sell for. And so, if that home sold for, and let's say there's three homes and they all sold for about the same price, because you can't really go off of one house. You need four or five of them if you can. The more, the better. The more accurate the data is going to be with the more examples that you can plug in to finding an average price per square foot. So let's say it comes out that the average price per square foot, and let's say that there was four or five other homes that sold for about that price, and it came out to $250 a square foot. So now let's say your home is 1,200 square feet. Well, that would mean that your home is probably going to sell for around $300,000. You know, if all of your market data is accurate and there haven't been any wild swings in interest rates in either direction, and we're not experiencing any kind of a meltdown, then, you know, that's probably going to be the sale price. So you're probably going to want to put a little, maybe a 5% buffer on that so that you've got a little wiggle room, because nobody's going to want to pay the listing price. So you might want to add on 5%. You might want to add on 10%, but the more you add on, the more people you're going to cut out of the search. When they go to realtor.com, they start putting their parameters, you know, and start looking for homes between $250,000 to $310,000. If you listed at $320,000, those people looking that would be willing to spend $310,000, which is well within which you'd be willing to sell for, they're never going to see your home if you've got it listed at $320,000. So you have to keep that in mind as well. Most of the traffic we got to our house since we listed it did come from realtors bringing buyers to our house. And I'd say probably 85 to 90% of the people that came through, were coming through with their realtor. So we would have lost all that traffic if we hadn't have went with that flat fee MLS service and gotten the house listed up on realtor.com and MLS. I think I maybe had one person that came through Zillow and then one person that just picked up the flyers in our box on our lawn. And, you know, if you're in whether you're on a high traffic street or not, you can get a for sale by owner, stick that in the yard and get one of those little info boxes and make a little flyer for that tells how many square feet you got, and put three or four good pictures on that flyer that shows the front of the house. And maybe, especially if you've updated the bathroom or the kitchen, you know, and you've got a nice flooring in the living room, you know, some pictures that are going to display that. And put your list price, how many bedrooms, how many baths, and the square footage of the home, the square footage of the lot, and all that pertinent information with your contact information and your sale price or the price that you're asking. Now, we did keep that window open if somebody would have wanted to come in from Zillow or from one of those flyers, and we would have been able to sell the home with no commission on either side. Now, a lot of people get freaked out about that because they think they have to have a realtor to handle the contract. Now, when you go to the MLS flat fee service, that agent's going to be able to provide you with contracts, and they're just simple fill-in-the-blank contracts. And if you get confused or you get frustrated about that, every real estate closing is going to have to go through a title insurance company, and they're the ones that are going to do the title abstract and make sure that there's no liens on the property and all of that kind of thing. And they're attorneys, so they'll be able to look your contract over for you, and they're going to be getting money out of this. They're going to be getting the closing fees that are for closing the sale. They're going to get all of that. So they'll be happy to help you out with that contract and make sure you've got all the blanks filled in right. But they're very, very self-explanatory, and anybody can do it. You have to keep in mind that when you're using a realtor, in Florida, you get your realtor's license in a 2-week course. So, it's not as hard as you think it is, perhaps, if you don't have any experience with filling out one of those contracts yourself. Now, it's also possible that you're trapped in a collapsing city like Fort Lauderdale because of work reasons. And if that's the case, look into the outskirts of town. In most cities, just by moving 10 miles out from the center of town, you'll be in a much more survivable location. And you'll probably get more yard space and maybe even a bigger house for the same money or maybe even a little bit less. You'll probably have the added costs associated with a longer commute, but that should be offset by the more affordable housing opportunities. My brother, sister, and brother-in-law, they all work in Louisville, Kentucky, but they live in the next county over where it's much less populated, much more conservative. They have those long commute times, but they're so much happier being outside of the city. In the Bible, Lot saw the changes happening all around him. He faced serious difficulties when he was living in Sodom. If you remember, he was attacked there, and all of his belongings and his family and everything was he was kidnapped, and his family was hauled off, and Abraham had to come in and rescue him. But he didn't take the hint. He stayed there anyway. When destruction finally fell on the city, he had to bug out in a hurry and lost most of his worldly possessions. Maybe it was because his wife didn't want to leave. You know, if you remember in the story, she just couldn't stand to walk away without one last look, and she ended up turning into salt. But even if she hadn't have been turned into salt, he didn't really do her any favors by not getting out while the getting was good, because, you know, they lost all of their stuff. Not to mention the corruption that poisoned his daughter's minds, because if you read on in that story of Lot, there's some disturbing stuff that happens between Lot and his daughters, sexually. And that's because, you know, their minds have been so polluted by just staying in that culture and probably going to the public school systems where, you know, they were having diversification classes and everything else, and, you know, watching Katy Perry videos and, being around their friends that aren't involved in church, and, you know, and their moral compass is probably coming from, YouTube and, Twitter and, the internet and whatever music was popular at the time. So moving to a more conservative and more lightly populated area might be difficult, but the consequences of inaction may prove to be even more costly. I encourage you to pray and ask God if you're where he wants you to be right now. If you remember the story from Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels told Lot to head for the mountains. Now, he negotiated with the angels and got permission to go to a smaller town called Zoar. You know, maybe in your situation, the mountains aren't feasible, or maybe you can't get a consensus among the rest of your family to move to the mountains. So if that's the case, look into a smaller, more conservative town like Zoar that isn't overflowing with crime and wickedness like Sodom was. And guys, you have to love your wives like Christ loved the church. But you're also supposed to be the leaders for your families. You'll be the ones called to account for how well you perform that role. You may have to be firm about recommending a move, but be sure you're doing it all in love and you're being gentle while you're being firm and putting your foot down about it. And also pray that God will change your wife's heart if she's not on board with moving to a more conservative, more sustainable type of an area. Now, ladies, if the shoe's on the other foot and it's your other half that insists on not moving and you just feel like you're not in the place that God wants you to be, your best tool is going to be prayer. And God regularly changes hearts through prayer. So it's something he can do and it's something he does do. He just does it all the time. And it's happened in my life multiple times where God's changed my heart on issues. And it's happened multiple times where God's changed my wife's heart on issues. And prayer will, it's always that thing because, you know, if you would have married somebody that was exactly like you, then one of you would be unnecessary. So, God puts people together and sometimes, they don't always see eye to eye, but it's usually prayer is the best way to, for you to get on the same page. And he does that all the time. So I hope this show has been informative and I hope that it's, something that if you're not in a, you know, a lightly populated, conservative area and you're feeling trapped, I pray that you'll pray about it and that God will give you some direction and some wisdom and some peace on the issue. So God bless and happy prepping.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback or audio edition at Amazon.com today.